All right, so item 4A1, case number 19-10, Hans Littner, physical therapist. Mr. Littner, I think I saw that you were on, correct?
I'm sorry?
I just want to know if you were there.
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. Do you happen to have representation or anything like that?
No, I don't.
Okay. Again, I just want to know who's available, do you have anyone that will be speaking in your behalf?
No, myself.
Is there anyone else present wanting to speak to complaint 1910?
Hello, this is William Bessie.
Thank you, Mr. Bessie. Is there anybody else?
Yes, Toby Bessie.
Is there anyone else willing to speak to or wanting to speak to complaint 1910, Hans Littner?
It's Toby Bessie, if you didn't already get that.
I did, Ms. Bessie. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, this is Mona Baskin. And as a reminder, let's use initials, please, for the patient.
Okay. Just so you know, Toby Bessie is not the patient.
I understand. It was just a general reminder. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else? Okay.
This is an informal hearing, so you have to go through your informal hearing script, please.
Oh, I have to go find it now.
It's in your drive.
I got it.
Thank you.
All right. This is case number 19-10, Hans Littner, physical therapist. Let's have the board members and staff counsel introduce themselves.
I will do that roll call. Dr. King.
Here.
Dr. King is professional member. Mr. Clinton, public member.
Here.
Mr. Greer, public member.
Here.
Ms. Remick, professional member.
Present.
Dr. Cornwell, president and professional member.
Present.
Ms. Hunter, professional member.
Present.
Dr. Bastillo, professional member.
Present.
Staff, Ms. Cardoza.
Present.
Ms. Crowley.
Present.
Ms. Richardson.
Present.
Ms. Chepius.
Present.
And our Assistant Attorney General, Ms. Baskins.
Present.
And I am Karen Donahue, Executive Director.
Okay. This interview is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. 1, issue a decree of censure. 2, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. 3, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500. 4, issue other disciplinary action. 5, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. Okay. We have all the those who will be speaking. Okay, can we have a brief overview on the case?
Karen, do you want to provide that?
I certainly can. This is complaint 1910, Hans Littner. The single allegation is 2044. Thank you. The single allegation is 2044-4, engaged in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. Dr. Cornwell, you also have to swear in witness, please.
Yes. So all those individuals who be speaking, testifying today.
Can we have everybody turn off their mics, please? Except for, there we go. Somebody's got, there's two mics in the same room. So if somebody can figure out who that is. Okay, Dr. Cornwell, go ahead.
Okay, so we need to swear in all those individuals who will be providing evidence or statements today. So Mr. Littner, that would be you. And Mr. B, I assume that would be you.
Okay. And Miss B.
Mrs. B.
Yes, it is. Okay.
And it'll be Miss Richardson and myself.
Okay. So we have five individuals. If all five of you would please raise your right hand. And I'm assuming you are right now. You swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes, I do.
We'll do a roll call. Mr. Littner, is that a yes?
Yes, I do.
WB, is that a yes?
That's a yes.
TB, is that a yes?
Yes.
Ms. Richardson, is that a yes?
Correct.
And it's a yes from Karen Donahue, Executive Director.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Littner, would you like to make an opening statement to the board?
I'm not sure exactly what I'm being charged for specifically. I'd like to have that addressed. I understand what the statute is, but the details I don't understand.
So, Mr. Littner, hang on one second. I will get you the summary. So, Mr. Littner, complaint was filed. I can find it. The complaint was filed against you. There we go. From WB that alleged that you provided substandard care during the provision of physical therapy services on June 26, 2018, following a left total hip replacement. Mr. B alleges that your actions were not following known hip protocol replacement protocol, which resulted in a dislocation of Mr. B's total hip replacement performed on May 31st, 2018, while in the clinic, while you were providing treatment. Those are the allegations.
Okay. What specific activity am I being accused of? Just the violation of the 90-degree hip protocol?
That's for discussion with the board. So this is your opportunity to give an opening statement.
Okay. When Mr. Bessie walked into the clinic, I observed him walking down the hall towards me. I had, prior to his arrival, reviewed the chart. Dr. Bruns, who is in the clinic that I work in, his notes are readily available to me, so I reviewed all of those. I talk to Mr. Bessie about the internal rotation of his hip. His foot was internally rotated as he was walking. And we discussed that. I believe we went over the hip protocols regarding trunk flexion and hip flexion and how the hip protocols could be violated either by trunk flexion or hip flexion. And we talked about the possibility that his hip is internally rotated, which is not a good position for him for following a total hip replacement.
Okay.
Let me one in 2 seconds.
I'm hearing some other voices, but I'm not sure who they are.
I'm sorry, sir. That was Mr. Bessie, because what Mr. Lettner just said.
You will have your opportunity to say something.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So unless you're speaking, we need to have you on mute.
So, yes, sir.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to say, Mr. Lettner?
We, after the discussion with him, we went to the treatment table and I asked him to perform the exercises that he had been doing at home. We talked about which ones those were. The heel slide exercise was one of the exercises, and I had him use a strap to control the internal rotation that may occur. I wasn't sure how that was going to work out. Oh, I forgot. Prior to that, I had assessed his range of motion passively before starting the exercises. I have my patients demonstrate the exercises to see how they're doing them as part of the evaluation. It was during the performance of that exercise that Mr. Bessie's hip dislocated without, I wasn't at the table at the time, and I'd gone over the exercise with him with, manual cueing. And that's how the incident occurred.
Okay. All right. WB, would you like to make a statement?
Yes, I would.
This is, I think you are TB, right?
TB is my wife.
Ah, oh, sorry.
I'm the patient.
Okay.
Okay, most of what Mr. Lettner said just now never happened. I walked into the room. He gave me paperwork to fill out. He took it back. He was impatient at the time. I don't know why, but he seemed to be scurrying around. He put me on the table, asked me if I knew how to do a heel slide. There was no assessment. I did the movement twice, which I had been doing for 3 weeks since the home therapy girls had taught me how to do it, which I did very comfortably. I was able to drive my wife's Toyota 4Runner to the therapy session. And like I say, I did this way I had been taught. He gave me a strap, turned my foot, and then he moved my knee out of alignment, told me to pull and push at the same time. I did that once. As the pain shot through me, I fell into his arms because he was standing at the table next to me. And I screamed my living daylights out. I don't know if anyone there has ever had anything pulled out of socket, but it is excruciating. Like I say, I walked into that place. I drove there after having 3 weeks of therapy at home. He changed the angle of my foot, changed the angle of my knee, and told me to push and pull at the same time. He was there. There was a young man assisting him. I do not remember his name. And there was another lady about 10 feet away. I don't know her name. But that's what happened.
Okay.
May I interject? This is TB.
Go ahead.
Okay. At the time that this occurred, he went past the 90-degree angle that is protocol. I am an RN nurse and have done orthopedics. He went past the 90 degrees that he was supposed to go, having him pull. The other things that he said in agreement with my husband were a total lie. He took very little time with us. this whole matter took less than 5 minutes that he was with us. And then the rest of the time it was trying to get him into another room to do an x-ray. Now I was sitting right next to the thing because I wanted to watch the therapy to make sure that if this was successful therapy, that I would be able to help my husband with it at home. And being a nurse, I was entitled to feel that way, which I did. And after my husband started screaming at the top of his lungs in pain, they turned him over. The other young man came over to try to help. He ended up going into another room for an x-ray where they determined it was a dislocated hip. And the doctor then was David Jeffries. He came in and called the rescue to take him down to Thompson Peak Hospital. And take it from there. He was there all day till they got to him.
Okay, thank you very much. Would any of the board members like to ask questions of Mr. Littner or WB or TB?
Dr. Corwell, I would go one person at a time.
Okay, let's do Mr. Littner first. Anyone have questions for Mr. Littner?
I have a few questions, if I may, President Cornwall. Mr. Okay. Littner, this is Peggy Hunter. Can you take me through when a new patient comes into your clinic, what happens? Do you have somebody that just assists you with exercises afterwards, or do you stay with that person? Can you give me some information about that?
With the initial evaluation, I am present and I do all the exercises with the patient. With Mr. Bessie, as he walked down the hall, I could see that his leg was internally rotated, and that was a concern for me. It was also a concern for Mrs. Bessie, as she had brought that up to me. You know, we reviewed the total hip precautions, because he had also described that he had was moving from a standing position to a cross-legged position onto the floor, like an Indian seated position, and he's having difficulty getting up.
Excuse me, this was after his surgery?
This is after the surgery.
All right, thank you, sir.
I explained to him how the violation of the hip precautions were occurring during that maneuver, and I advised him not to do that anymore.
So. Yeah,
true. Okay, and who is
Ms. Hunter? I'm going to interrupt you, Mr. B and Mrs. B. You need to turn your mics on off.
Hello.
Turn your mics off, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so no problem. So Mr. Littner, who is this person that was assisting you with Mr. B?
He was a physical therapy assistant in the room and out of the room during that time. He was not standing by assisting.
Okay.
There was no one standing by assisting. There were people moving in and out of the room as they needed to, but it was just me working with Mr. Bessie on a one-to-one basis.
Okay, so Mr. B stated that you walked away. So where were you going?
I was moving across the room. I don't remember what I was moving towards, but I don't recall exactly where I was going.
Well, okay. It just seems like this patient needed some extra cues because it just. So I'm just wondering why you didn't stay there with the patient.
I did for three repetitions, and I don't remember why I walked away, to get something perhaps. I'm not sure.
Okay. Was Mr. B able to tell you his hip precautions accurately?
Yes.
Okay. And did you inquire whether Mr. B had that internal rotation of his hip prior to his surgery?
He did not have it prior, and that was a concern.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Ms. Butler, it's Kelly King. A couple of questions, if I may. You said that you observed the patient ambulating with internal rotation. It was a concern for you as well as for the patient's wife. You state that you were performing the evaluation. He was on the mat table, given a strap. Did you observe him doing the first two repetitions with the strap?
Yes, I had my hands on guiding him through the motion for those three repetitions. The idea was with the strap that it would, as he was going into hip flexion, it would prevent an internal rotation of the hip.
And then after three repetitions, what was your thought process as far as feeling, what was your thought process to leave him after just three repetitions of doing an exercise?
As I observed the movement, it appeared as if he would be independent with that. So I had gone, stepped away to do something. I don't remember what it was.
And then it was the next couple of, what happened when you stepped away from your perspective?
The following repetition, I believe, and I don't recall exactly, it's been almost 2 years, is when the hip dislocated. I'm not sure how many reps total he did, but it was during that exercise that his hip internally rotated.
And I think I remember reading in your statement that you, out of the corner of your eye, you saw him flex forward.
To choke up on the strap. Yeah, so that was reaching for the strap. And in effect, doing a more of a trunk flexion maneuver as he was sitting. He was sitting on a treatment table and performing the exercises.
And would you say that it's typically your practice to, on the first time with a patient, with an exercise, given that you're already concerned about the internal rotation, which we know puts them at risk for dislocation, that you would so quickly leave them independent with their exercises?
Well, I've never been in this situation before where I'd seen somebody with a hip internally rotated post-op. From my judgment, as he was doing them, everything appeared to go okay. So I don't remember why I stepped away. Perhaps it was to get something. I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
This is Mark Cornwell. So he was sitting on the edge of a treatment table, correct?
No, he was partially reclined. It was a high-low table with an adjustable back.
Okay.
The back was set, I don't recall exactly at what angle, but not 90 degrees. It was set at, I don't know, maybe 30 degrees. So he was in a not a fully long sitting position. He was reclined back.
Okay. All right. That makes. Thank you very much. That helps me. There's a couple little things that you mentioned that in your initial evaluation you gave him some strength scores on the left. And they were in the 4 out of 5 range, as I recall.
What score was that? I'm sorry.
They were muscle scores.
Okay. Yeah.
Scores. And so You also said that you did assess passive range of motion. So yeah, I'm assuming you did passive range of motion within the constraints of the hip precaution, correct?
I believe so. I haven't looked at those records recently.
Well, I'm assuming that you would not take him into
full. Yeah, I don't assess internal rotation, and I assess hip flexion to 90. You know, he was easily moving beyond that in observation.
Okay.
So.
But you have down on the second page of your initial evaluation that left flexion was 4 out of 5 and left internal rotation was 4 out of 5, external rotation 4 out of 5, and abduction was 4 out of 5. So I'm a little confused on your definitions of what a 4 out of 5 is.
Well, based on his function, and as far as his movement was, I mean, he was able to move through his hip through, you know, as he was walking, going from sitting to standing and positioning himself onto the table, he was able to move his leg, you know, without any problems as far as gravity goes or, you know, just functionally.
Okay, that doesn't help me a whole lot. So the only definitions I'm aware of on what a 4 out of 5 means is that they can go through the complete range of motion against gravity and then provide moderate level of resistance at end range. So are you defining it differently?
I don't recall what I chose to use that with. I agree with you on your definition, though, but I don't recall it.
Okay, so the strap that you had him use, that was more to help him maintain alignment of the lower extremity, but not assist with the exercises, because if somebody's got a 4 out of 5 hip flexion, internal and external rotation, they can do that with, you know, the strap. They don't need the strap to help them do that, but you're using it for something else.
To control the internal rotation.
Okay. Because he wasn't aware of where his leg was, or because he certainly has adequate strength to do that.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm helping him with the heel slides, you know, in my previous observation of his internal rotation of his hip, you know, with his movement, I didn't want to risk any problems at all. You know, I didn't think it would be a problem. He had been doing the exercises, but I had concern.
Okay. Does any other board member have questions for Mr. Littner?
I do. This is Mishka Remick. Mr. Littner, when you say you had concerns, you're referencing the internal rotation, correct?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Sure. When you say that you had concerns, you're referencing the amount of internal rotation, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so I'm understanding the chronology correctly. I understood you to say that you identified this internal rotation immediately upon his arrival to the clinic.
Yes, as he walked into the treatment room. We have a hallway that, patients access to our treatment room. And it was as he walked down the hallway, it was then when I observed his internal rotation.
Okay. And it sounds like per visual appraisal, at this point at least, you deemed that was atypical.
Right.
And so what additional measures did you perform, or what measures did you complete on your initial evaluation to determine the source of this atypical internal rotation?
I didn't assess internal rotation when I performed the passive range of motion. I'm not sure I understand.
I guess I'm wondering if you have determined that this position of the foot, which I'm calling, or hip or knee, which I'm calling internal rotation, if you are determining that it's atypical and you noticed it immediately upon presentation to the clinic, how do you measure it? What did you do to determine where it was coming from? Was it from the foot? Was it from the knee? Was it from the hip? How do you quantify that it's atypical and determine the source?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what my decisions were regarding the position of the hip as opposed to the knee, as opposed to the ankle. My concern was that he is internally rotated and he was post-op at the hip.
Right. And I guess I'm asking for clarification on how you determined, you know, the source of it, because it seems as though the additional foot repositioning precipitated the dislocation. So I'm just trying to ascertain how you determined it was atypical, how you measured it, what you did about it, how it changed your decision making with regard to the heel slides.
I don't recall all the steps I took to assess that.
Okay, could you maybe expound upon if you felt like the internal rotation was coming from the femur, the tibia, just generally speaking, grossly speaking?
My thought was, I believe, that it was from the hip, from the femur being internally rotated.
Okay, and so it's your position then that you put it into less internal rotation for the heel slide?
No, neutral. I wouldn't put him in external rotation with the heel slide.
Okay. And then since this event has occurred, have you taken any additional classes or orthopedic content on the management of orthopedic conditions as it relates to the hip?
Not including the hip, but not specifically to the hip.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Sure.
Dr. Litter, it's Kelly King again. A quick question, just a clarification. What was the manual? I felt like there were some manual muscle test scores for strength in the evaluation, and one of them was for the external rotators. Correct me if I'm wrong, were those a 4 out of 5 for external rotation?
Let me look.
It would be page 20 of the informal hearing document.
I don't have the, well, maybe I do. No, I don't have the informal hearing document.
It's page 2 of the initial evaluation.
Okay. I'm not sure you're aware of this, but there is the evaluation, and then there is an appendage.
So what was the manual muscle test for the external rotator muscle group? a three out of five. Was that the initial evaluation?
That was in the appended portion of the initial evaluation.
And what's the date? Like, why? Can you help me understand why there's an appended evaluation?
I don't remember exactly, but I suspect that it was closed. The initial eval was closed, and to complete the evaluation, I had to reopen it up again.
And then, so was that manual muscle test score on the actual day of the evaluation? What's listed on the day that you were actually, you had him in your clinic with you? Manual muscle
test. The initial eval and the append was done on the same day.
Okay. And they both indicate a manual muscle test score of a 3 out of 5 for external rotation?
Yes, that's what I have written down.
Go ahead.
That's fine. I just wanted to clarify, just putting it together, if there's a weakness concern, a 3 out of 5 is, and the risk of interim rotation.
So, but the addendum says 3 out of 5, but the initial note says 4 out of 5.
That's what I wanted to find out. So that's what I'm clarifying. So the initial note when he was in the clinic with you, the score was a 4 out of 5, which means full range of motion against gravity, can hold resistance without breaking much. And yet, what I'm hearing you say is that as you were working with him and looking at his interim rotation, you were worried, I think you clarified for Ms. Remick, that you felt like it was weakness at the hip that was causing the interim rotation, yet the external rotators were a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I can't recall exactly.
Right, and that's why we have documentation, so that you don't have to recall. Okay.
Right.
No further questions for Lee, Dr. King.
So this is Karen Bustillo. In either the original initial eval or the appended version, I don't really see much about a gait assessment. And it appears that he has a reasonable hip flexion range of motion for a month out of surgery, or close to a month out of surgery. Were you just going to be reviewing his home exercises that day, or
What I do with my initial evaluations is I ask the patient to demonstrate the exercises that they've been doing.
Okay.
Just to see, if there's any adjustments that need to be made, to check on compliance. That's just part of the evaluation. It's not the initiation of the exercise program.
Okay. Can you address a little bit about why in the evaluation or the appended version that there's no mention of the patient sitting on the floor and having trouble getting back up? That's kind of in additional notes.
In the subjective portion, there is mention of that.
Okay, I got it.
Ms. Patillo, are you done with your questions or?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know whether or not you were just contemplating.
I'm sorry.
So, anyone else have any questions for Mr. Littner?
Not for me. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. WB, would
Hello.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. B?
Mr. B, this is Peggy Hunter. Prior to your hip surgery, was your leg internally rotated? Do you know what that means? It means your toes kind of going inside?
Actually, when I walk, my feet point virtually straight forward. I'm not sure about internal rotation, but that's been my normal gait all of my life. Prior to the surgery, a week before I went in to get everything prepped for that, I was on a ladder painting fascia boards up and down and hanging ceiling fans and doing that kind of stuff. But as far as rotation, you know, apparently there was no problem. After the surgery, I did the exercises. As a matter of fact, I was going up and down stairways to increase the strength in my leg because I wanted to get back to work. As far as any evaluations and 4 out of 5 on this or that, there were no evaluations. I was on his table. I pulled with the straps 3 or 4 times, maybe. I did the exercise the way I had been taught. He said that's wrong. He reached, he turned my foot from the angle I had it. He pushed my knee to midline and said to pull and push at the same time. That's when I reached down and grabbed up on the strap because I knew I would have to put a little more strength into it. Because when I did it myself, I really did not need the strap by the time I had gotten to him. I was able to lift my foot up and do everything pretty much as normal. As I said, I drove my wife's Toyota there.
Yes, sir, I realize that. But the concern is that your wife also noticed that your hip was internally rotated. And I'm wondering if you ever brought that up to your surgeon after seeing him.
No one said anything about my internal rotation or anything. I had just seen the surgeon for an evaluation, and he didn't say anything about it either.
No, he did not. He said he was free to go into physical therapy.
So, but Mrs. B, you yourself noticed the internal rotation.
The only internal rotation is that in my eyes, my husband, since I've met him 42 years ago, has always in his left foot had a slight tilt in versus being straight out. And that was what Lettner wanted to straighten up. When he did that and had a pull on the string was when that hip was displaced. Plus, he had gone further than what Dr. Brunn said he wanted him to go.
So, but you realize that internally rotation is not recommended when you have a left hip surgery, a replacement.
We don't know. Mr. Littner, I brought that up.
So Mr. Littner was in fact correct to have your husband put his foot in a more neutral position. And if he was already in a on a plinth or something that was up 30 degrees, and then his knee was bent, and then he leaned forward to grab the strap more, that's really breaking hip precautions.
Correct.
Actually, I was not leaning back on the table. I was sitting up and just had my legs there, and there was nothing supporting my back.
Well, sir, that's even worse.
Well, that's the way he did it. He sat me on the table, said, "Can you do the heel slide?" And I said, "Yes." I demonstrated it, and he told me I was doing it wrong. He moved me around, and in one pull, my knee came right out. He did no assessments before. He didn't have me bend or stretch or walk anywhere or do anything. I didn't do anything except shake his hand. He said, "Can you sit on that table?" That was about the extent of the evaluation. I don't know if Mr. Lettner totally remembers everything that was going on at the time. There was a couple that was one table over from us and a lady across the room. That's all that was there at the time when I was in there. She had a rubber band around her knees and was stretching it back and forth. There was nobody else there.
So why do you think Mr. Littner was starting to walk away from you?
He never walked away. He was sitting right there. He and the young man. The young man was on the other side of the table, and Mr. Littner was there. He never moved anywhere.
Okay.
When I pulled my hip out of the socket, I fell over to my right side screaming, and he caught me right then. And thank God, because it was excruciating. But he never walked away. He never did any evaluation. My appointment was at 10 o'clock. I was in an ambulance on my way to Thompson Peak Hospital, and he had already signed the incident report at 10:40. I don't know when he had time to do all this other stuff that he's talking about. Maybe he is thinking of a different patient.
So, sir, can you visualize that you're sitting up on a table with your knee bent, and then you lean forward more to grab the strap is really not very good when you have a hip replacement?
That's what I'm talking about. Mr. Littner should have seen that.
But, sir, you have a responsibility yourself.
He's the one that put me there and positioned me.
Okay, but you have the right to say, "I don't think this is good. This will break my hip precautions," since you knew them so well.
Ma'am, I had already done the movement 3 times very comfortably with no fuss, no muss. I did it normally 20 times a day. Actually, I did it on both legs because I was prepping my right side so I could get it replaced at the same facility.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Hi, this is Nishka Remick. I just have 2 questions for the patient, WB, please.
Okay,
go ahead.
Mr. WB, were you cleared for driving by your physician?
He said I could probably do, when I took it originally, he said I would probably be able to drive in about a month.
Okay.
And so I did when I went to the therapy because I was so happy with how well I was doing.
Right. Go ahead. So I'm trying to understand. Did your physician then clear you for driving?
Yes.
Okay. And then Mr. Littner is referencing a position with you getting up from the floor from a cross-legged position.
I was never on the floor.
Okay. So you have...
No, I sat on a chair, filled out some paperwork, got off the chair, shook his hand, said hello, and he put me on the table. There was no sitting on the floor.
Okay, I think I understood him to say that he had referenced a time when you had you were in a cross-legged position and you had difficulty getting up from that position.
Not anywhere near him, and I would not have even thought about trying to get into that position with my hip being replaced. Matter of fact, I have not even tried in that position since I've had the incident with him.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions for Mr. B? Do any of the board members have questions for Mrs. B? No. Okay, so would Mr. Littner, would you like to make a closing statement?
No, thank you.
Okay. Mr. B, would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes, I would. I know that Mr. Littner did not, with any malice, do anything purposely to hurt me. He made a mistake or a little error in judgment, I'm not sure. All I know is I want him to admit the truth that he did it. And, I drove to that place, I walked in, and I left in an ambulance, and that was after he made me change the exercise from the way I had been doing it to doing it a different way. And I will be happy with that.
All right, thank you. All right, so this concludes the portion of the interview where the board takes evidence and hears arguments. The board will now deliberate the case in public session. No one should interrupt deliberations, and board members should not interrupt deliberations to ask further questions of the licensee or complaint. Okay, so what are the board's thoughts? Or even, do I have a motion?
Dr. Cornwell, this is Peggy Hunter.
Yeah.
I don't know about the other board members, but I'm very confused with this. There seems to be two different stories from the therapist and the patient's wife, to the point where, he said he walked away. The patient said he did not walk away. I've seen people dislocate their hip after surgery, but it's mostly because they've broken all three hip precautions. I think it's unusual for his hip to be internally rotated after the surgery. But I think Mr. Littner is a little vague on things that happen, and I think he would benefit from having some possibly some more CEUs in orthopedic hip evaluations, et cetera. I can't even imagine a patient coming in and not being evaluated by a PT before they even sat down and did anything. So I'm very confused. So I'd like to hear from the other board members.
Peggy, it's Kelly King. I am in agreement with you that it does feel, listening to everything and reading everything, I do think that minimum standards appear to be compromised. by the care and lack of evaluation, as well as documentation that manual muscle test scores were assessed, yet functionally observing someone isn't the same as giving a score. So I'm concerned about that, as well as some of the discrepancies about whether the PT was there or was not right there when the exercise happened. So I am in agreement with some concern about our standard of care that was provided for this patient. So with the motion then, Karen B, findings of fact.
So you would, if the board was leaning toward a board order, the board then would consider findings of facts, which would be, here are the things we believe happened that are not meeting minimum standard, followed by conclusions of law, citing the law that you believe has been violated, and then determining what a board order would be.
I'll start with a motion in, as this is an informal hearing, correct?
Yes.
This is correct.
For making a motion for a non-disciplinary action that would include those CEUs for Mr. Littner.
So I need to know how many CEUs and in what time period.
Okay. The CEUs would need to include, and again, we'll start here. I'm happy to amend it, but certainly documentation of, I think we have, is it, I think it's six hours. I would also would like to see an ethics course, and then a CEU specifically around evaluation and treatment of the orthopedic patient, specifically post-op total hip arthroplasty.
How many hours for the hip arthroplasty course?
A minimum of six.
Okay, how many hours for the ethics?
A minimum of three.
And what time period to complete?
6 months.
There would need to be a second.
I'll second it for discussion.
So just to clarify, it's been moved and seconded to issue a non-disciplinary order that includes 6 hours of orthopedic hip specific to hip replacement, 6 hours of documentation, 3 hours of ethics. You're in discussion.
I agree with all these continuing education courses, except I don't believe it should be non-discipline. I think there's too many differences in the story, and I would recommend the same CEUs, except for it to be discipline.
So, Kelly, if this person completes these continuing education courses, do you think that extra knowledge would have prevented what happened? I mean, is it really a lack of education on his part? I'm not sure it is. If it's all related to maintaining hip precautions, I think he knew hip precautions very, very well. If it's a laxity in maintaining them when the patient exercises, I'm not sure taking a course is going to affect that.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Mark. It just seems, again, I'm confused because there just seems to be two sides to the story. If you're going, it just doesn't seem like he was, I mean, to be sitting up on a plinth or whatever without any support for the back and to be doing heel slides, I mean, right off the bat, that's not a good position to be in to maintain hip precautions. So if anything, there should have been more hands-on communication, I believe, with this patient. And there's just stories, you know, he walked away, he didn't walk away. The back of his plinth was up 30 degrees. He had no support. There's just too many differences in these stories. If he's going to take a documentation course, I think there should be a chart review as well. Otherwise, what is the point?
All good points, and that was a part of the, you know, of making a motion is to start some discussion about really where we're at with this. I do agree with you, Dr. Conwell, that taking a course may or may not have changed how he works with his patients or with this particular patient. And I don't think we will necessarily know that because we can't go backwards. I know we've as a board have requested and required people to take courses as a refresher, I guess I should say, lack of a better word, of what the minimum standard is and how diligent we absolutely must be when we're working with all of our patients. But I am not, so we've got a motion and a second. We can vote and then move into a next phase if you'd like to.
Well, yeah, I want to make sure everyone has enough time to either ask questions or comment before we take that vote, but
I think Mr. Littner,
his initial evaluation it continues to be disturbing to me. He appears to provide numbers on both range of motion and strength that he, especially the strength, that he just definitely could not give that score and still maintain proper hip precautions.
Correct.
It's just impossible. So he's taking a guess based on how the patient walked in or got up on the table and said, oh, this is what your strength is. Well, that's a pretty poor way of estimating somebody's strength. And so that makes me think that he cut corners when he did his range of motion and strength assessments. And then what other corners did he cut?
Right.
That he characterizes Mr. B as a complicated patient because he was gung-ho, and yet he only observed three reps and then was okay.
Right.
It seems to me that that's contradictory. Either he trusts Mr. B or he doesn't trust Mr. B, and there's a documentation in the chart that he didn't really trust him that well, yet his behavior does the opposite.
Yep.
I agree with that. I think if Mr. Littner had done some hands-on and even some education with the patient, for instance, you know, say your foot, your hip is like this, and this will promote breaking your hip precautions, and to hold it and have him go through the motion and to try and educate and explain to the patient, which he obviously did not. And this can lead to what happened. But I also have concerns that the patient's hip was internally rotated, which doesn't sound right, but that's for the surgeon to address, I suppose.
So is the discussion then perhaps suggesting that we would want something in place to sort of ensure that there isn't a continuation of
cutting of corners moving forward in the future?
That's certainly one way to go. The motion we have is, you know, is the motion we have. So we either try to amend it or we vote it up or down, and then go from there.
My feeling, this is my question, that, you know, for me, when you have a patient hurt under, you know, and patients sitting there and you're supposed to be watching them, to me, that crosses the line from non-disciplinary to disciplinary. You know, you have to, when there's a patient, you know, hurt, and you're there in initial, you know, initially looking at the patient, something went wrong. And I think the physical therapist bears the responsibility for that.
Completely agree.
I also share Dr. Cornwall's sentiment that my feeling is that there has been some shortcuts that were taken, and the only way for me to ensure that they wouldn't continue on moving forward in his practice would be to have some sort of monitoring or supervision.
I would agree with that.
Me too.
So so it sounds like, We can either call the vote, and if it fails, then we present a second motion, or we can go through amendments. I think the first option is just a little bit cleaner.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yes. Does everyone have enough information that so they can feel confident in their vote, and we can call the question?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yes.
All right, then let's call the question.
So the motion before you is complaint 1910 Hans Littner PT. This is for a non-disciplinary order for 6 hours of orthopedic specific to hip replacements, 6 hours of documentation, 3 hours of ethics, all to be completed within 6 months. Dr. King?
No.
Mr. Clinton?
No.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Dr. Cornwall?
No.
Ms. Hunter?
No.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes. No. I'm sorry. Excuse me. No.
The motion fails. You're back into discussion.
All right. So, does somebody like to make another motion?
I'll make a motion for a documentation course for 6 hours, an orthopedic, I guess, I don't know if there's something specific for hip.
Shouldn't we be doing the findings of that first?
Oh, okay.
Hi, this is Mona Baskin. Yes, Ms. Hunter, we would just need to take a pause and go forward with some findings, a motion for findings of fact and a motion for conclusion of law. I think there's only one alleged. And then we can go ahead after those two motions and deal with the specifics of what board order. Thank you.
So you have one alleged violation, which is 2044-4, engaging in the performance of substandard care. There are five statements that support that allegation in your informal hearing brief. You can accept all five or amend any portion of those five.
So I make a motion to accept the findings of facts. And so this ARS 322044 Dr. Donahue, would that include reasoning for documentation course, et cetera?
Ms. Hunter, that is for you to tie substandard care to documentation.
Okay, well then I so move that because okay, there is evidence.
If you could just give a statement on how you feel that the documentation is representative of substandard care, I would appreciate it.
Certainly. Well, I believe the very fact that the evaluation as it has been brought up, that first, you know, hip rotation, et cetera, was 4 out of 5, manual muscle testing, and then it was 3 out of 5, gives concern about what it was. And, you know, where's the clinical rationale for doing anything? So that would be my argument, that the documentation is not up to standard.
So your motion is to accept the findings of fact have listed in the informal hearing brief 1 through 5 in its entirety?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a second?
Second.
Dr. Bustillo, a second. So you're in discussion. This is the point where you could remove or amend any of the 5 points findings of fact. Are you ready for the question?
Yeah.
So the board is voting on findings of fact 1 through 5 has identified in the informal hearing brief. Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
The findings of fact have been adopted. Now you're on to conclusions of law. You have one allegation.
Sorry, I'm trying to work two computers here. Okay, so I make a motion to accept the conclusion of law, which is ARS 3220444.
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Bustillo. It's been moved and seconded to accept conclusions of law as 2044-4, substandard care by a physical therapist. Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
The findings of the conclusions of law are adopted. You are now at your board order.
So I would like to make a motion to have a board order of a documentation course of 8 hours, an ethics course of 3, and a continuing education course specifically on orthopedics and the treatment of the hip. Also, I believe we should have, after these things are done, there should be a chart review.
Of how many records?
I would say 3.
Are you talking a single chart review or monitoring?
I think a single chart review.
And what period of time to complete?
So I believe he should be on probation for at least a year.
Early termination if he completes?
That's correct. And all these courses, if the virus permits, to be in person.
Understood. We would need a second to the motion.
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Bustillo.
And Dr. Donahue, Ms. Hunter, this is Mona Baskin. I just wanted a clarification. Maybe I missed it. As far as completing the CEs within that 1 year term of probation, how long would he have to complete those 3 in-person continuing education courses?
He has 1 year.
Okay, but then how would that factor in with the following after he completed the courses to the chart review?
So the way it would normally work is that he would know that he would know his termination date. He would have to complete those courses within 2 months or 6 days of the end of the termination to provide him time to submit for the chart review. So it's up to the individual to pick and choose when he's going to take those, but he needs to be aware of the time frame that requires a 30-day lapse after his last class has been taken in order to review charts. So that would be a 2 month. So at the 10-month mark, he should have his courses completed and requesting a chart review. Does that answer your question?
That's the direction that the board wanted to go.
Karen, do we have a second on that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Discussion, everybody understand what Karen was going about? We can either tell him that he has to have the continuing education done within a certain amount of months, or we just say everything has to be done within a year.
Right. So you've done board orders both ways. You've done board orders where it's a continuum total, which is what this particular motion is. And you've done orders where you have specified out the time period to complete certain aspects of your board order. You can go either way.
I guess I'm okay leaving it the way it is. If I was him, I'd probably get him done as soon as possible because then I come off probation faster. Before we got to this, the first motion was only 6 hours of documentation. Peggy, did you mean eight?
I did mean eight, but if you think that's too much, I'm okay to changing it to six. I think it should be at least six, though.
Okay. I guess I was concerned about finding 8 hours.
Okay. I'm okay with that. No problem.
Dr. Bastillo, you're the second on the motion. Are you okay reducing to six?
I am.
Thank you.
So this is Nishka Remick. I don't know that I'm in favor of the ethics portion of this order, the inclusion of the ethics class. For me, the case is more about knowledge of the management of this hip condition and documenting the findings and the assessments.
Nishka, it's Kelly. I can totally see, where you're coming from. For me, the reason that I initially suggested an ethics course is that I'm not convinced that the PT that is before us right now fully understands the ethics as far as honesty and integrity and documentation and providing the care that he says he provided but has no support of, and just understanding that it just does feel a little bit on the unethical side and what he says he did and what he truly did.
I see that, and I also see, I guess, shortcuts. Is an ethical decision that one has to make. So I can see that. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Yes, you're welcome.
We're still in the discussion. Any other questions, discussion about the current motion? Hearing none, Karen, let's call the question.
So the motion before you for complaint 1910, Mr. Hans Littner, PT, is for a disciplinary order to be completed within 1 year that includes 6 hours of orthopedic assessment specific to the hip, 3 hours of ethics, and 6 hours of documentation, followed by a
random chart review. All those, Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Klin?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
The motion passes. Mr. Littner, I will be in touch with you.
Now, Karen, do you want to pause again to reset the
video? I would. Thank you. If we could just take a second.